And we're going to continue the hour by celebrating a big honor that just got bestowed on one of our own. Every year, North Carolina Humanities selects 5 books for its annual NC Reads initiative, North Carolina Reads, all books about North Carolina history and culture, often with a focus on race and gender. 5 books just got selected. You can get the full list online at nchumanities.org. One of those 5 books was written by 97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com's very own Art Chansky, Game Changers, book about the history of Chapel Hill, specifically around the time that Dean Smith brought Charlie Scott in as UNC's first black scholarship athlete. Art Chansky joins us here now in the studio to talk about it. Congratulations. This is great.
Thanks. You know, I've written a bunch of books, but this was the most fun to write because I learned so much. Mm-hmm. And North Carolina and Chapel Hill in this area were a lot different back in the 60s than it is now. I mean, everybody still has room to improve. But when you think about JFK's, I think about JFK's book, Profiles in Courage, mm-hmm. when he was the president or before he became president. This is really the local version of Profiles in Courage, because when you think about Dean Smith, he was a early 30s, hadn't won anything as the basketball coach, and actually was under great fire from some of the alumni.
Literally in one case, right? Burned an effigy in 63, 4, something like that?
65, yeah. 65, yeah. Hung an effigy, and then so he took, it goes back to his background, because his father was a coach in Kansas, Alfred Smith, and he integrated high school basketball in Kansas, so mm-hmm. that was in his DNA. But he also wanted to have the best basketball team, regardless of who was on that team. And he wanted the best student athletes and the best players. And he wanted to integrate the program. And then here's Charlie Scott, 17 years old, had really never lived in a white society before. Grew up in East Harlem, mm-hmm. spent the last 3 years of his high school at Laurinburg Institute. And he comes to Chapel Hill, 55 black students on campus at the time, in a student body of 13,000. So when you talk about Profiles in Courage, there are two guys, and then not only that, they come from different parts of the world, from mid Kansas to East Harlem, and it's a great story, and it was a great growing up experience for Chapel Hill as well, because basketball, by the time Charlie got here, was just getting in to its championship mode with the 1967 ACC championship team, and then Charlie joined the team in the varsity in 1968. So there was a lot going on, but basketball and Carmichael Auditorium was kind of a safe haven for people. They would go and watch this great team that Dean Smith was building. But it was difficult for both of them. I mean, there's an anecdote in the book where in the 60s, Dean and his wife Ann were building a new house in Chapel Hill, and some neighbors walked by and kind of made the comment like, aren't you jumping to conclusions, or aren't you acting a little fast, as to imply that Coach wasn't going to be around very long. And then Charlie, of course, was somebody who found his, he was safe between the lines of the basketball court, but nowhere else on campus was he safe, because he did, when Dean Smith recruited him, you know, they put on the dog, and some black members of the community and the university assisted him in recruiting. But once mm-hmm. Charlie got here, he really wasn't welcomed in any other part.
Yeah.
And then he found his social life at North Carolina Central.
Yeah.
And got married after his sophomore year. And Charlie was very proud that he found that, because he recognized how difficult it was going to be when he came here. So it was a total profile and courage of two people who turned out to be a Hall of Fame coach and one of the most iconic plays that's ever played here, because Charlie making it at Carolina meant that, the Bill Chamberlains, the Phil Fords, the Dudley Bradleys, and eventually Michael Jordan and James Worthy would come here, where at other schools it didn't work. For example, he went over to visit, on his recruiting visit to Duke, he visited with a kid named C.B. Claiborne, who was 1 year older. And CB told him, don't come here, don't come to Duke, because they're not ready for us yet.
Wow.
And so for Charlie to make it at Carolina indicated that they were not only the state university, but the university of all the people. And then from that, Dean built a great basketball program.
You are speaking with Art Chansky. The book is Game Changers. The honor just got selected by North Carolina Humanities for its annual North Carolina Reads Initiative. 5 books. There's going to be events and happenings through the spring of next year. And again, nchumanities.org for more on that. You were here in Chapel Hill when this was going on. How much did you learn that you didn't already know?
Well, I learned so much from writing the book because back then I didn't know much. What the university was doing at that time, other than Bill Aycock, it was a very conservative, is a conservative word to describe it. And they did their best to keep what was going on in the Civil Rights Movement, West Franklin Street, which was then the beginning of the black neighborhood, and Lower East Franklin Street. They really kept it off campus. I mean, there was the Speaker's Band Bureau, which was kind of ridiculous. There was some fear that some of the members of the Communist Party who lived in Carrboro would come speak on campus. But they really did that to keep the Civil Rights Movement off campus. Mm-hmm. And so I was lived in a fraternity house, and you heard about things, but we didn't really know what was going on in the rest of town. And then we went to Carmichael and reveled in Charlie Scott being just an amazing athlete. You know, he was transcendent in terms of his athletic ability. You talk about above the rim, below the rim. He was really the first player who really played above the rim, and he was a spectacular player to watch. But, you know, he got caught up in the 55 blacks that were on campus at the time. Most of them were members of the beginning of the black student movement. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, banging on Charlie and Bill Chamberlain, who was a freshman in 1969, to do something to support their 23-point program that they had given to Carlisle Citizen. And Charlie was very smart. You know, Dean called him in the office and said, Charlie, now you're going to do what, at the end of the day, you're going to do what you want to do. But just remember, you've got your own personal family to represent. You're representing a university that gave you a scholarship to play basketball. You're representing your teammates, who are probably your most important family right now. Mm-hmm. So do what you think is right. So Charlie did go to the meetings, but he never spoke up. You know, and they were saying that Bill Chamberlain and Charlie Scott were going to quit the basketball team if these demands weren't met, which was not true at all. Mm. So that's kind of some of the pressure that he was on. And in College Park, Maryland, in the regionals that year, the Washington Press and Media, which is a lot more aggressive than it is in North Carolina, after the Sweet 16 game against Duquesne on Thursday night, they asked Charlie about the voting, not only for ACC Player of the Year, which he lost to John Roach from South Carolina, but he was left off 5 first-team All-ACC ballots. Now, you could say, if you're a big South Carolina fan, you could say John Roach, who was sort of the darling, pulled a big upset against Carolina and Charlotte, that he was the best player in the league. But there's no way in the world that Charlie Scott was not among the 5 best players in the league. And, you know, and Dean didn't say much, but he did say that was, you know, blatant racism. And so what they were asking him about it, and meanwhile, the black student movement was asking him to make a statement. And on Saturday morning, when they were playing Davidson for the second year in a row in the Elite Eight to go to the Carolina's third Final Four, Dean, who never did this before because everything was always pre-scheduled, he called a special meeting at the hotel in the morning, and Charlie Scott and John Lotz were not there. John was an assistant coach. And he said that they'll meet us at the arena. But basically, he said, after what happened Thursday night, you're going to be asked questions about the All-ACC voting and the alleged racism. And I just want you to know that. So be prepared about what you're going to say. He didn't tell him what to say, but just be prepared. And the truth is, Aaron, that Charlie was thinking about not playing that game. And John Lotz, who really, you can make a case of him saving Carolina basketball, said to Charlie, now you can't do anything about those 5 guys who left you off the team. And so who are you going to hurt if you don't play? You know, you're going to hurt mostly your teammates who love you. You love them. So go out there and prove that you not only one of the top 5 players in the league, but you are the best player. And he went out and without Dick Grubauer, who was injured, the starting point guard, I mean, he tore it up and hit a buzzer beater and 32 points and sent Lefty Dozell to his second straight Elite Eight loss, and Lefty never got to the Final Four in his entire coaching career. So when you think about the extrapolation of that, say Charlie didn't play in that game. You know, his legacy would have been different. People might have forgiven him years later. But I don't think Dean Smith would have lasted as the coach, because when he got back to campus, they would have called him from South Building in there and said, explain this to me,
right,
Coach. This kid we just gave a scholarship to play basketball at Carolina, how did he sit out the most important game of the year? And Dean would have said something about it was Charlie's right and he was mad about racism. And they would have said, Dean, let me ask you again, why did this kid who we gave a scholarship to play basketball didn't play in the most important game? And I think that he wouldn't have lasted. The next year, they didn't get to the NCAA tournament because the Clark Bunning Grubar class was gone and Charlie was, you know, was average 35 a game, but he wasn't good enough to take him to the tournament. And that's when I think they would have pulled the plug on Dean Smith. And so it's just a fascinating story. And people who have read it, who were here at the time, like you said, we knew a little bit about it, but we didn't know the details. The younger generation has not read it that much than should. And Matt Andrews at Carolina has a class every semester and it's required reading. So the younger people need to understand that this is just not a great basketball program that we have, and that Hubert's now got the number one ranked team in the country. It just didn't happen. It happened through the strength and courage of two people.
And a lot of more people are going to be able to read this story next spring when North Carolina Humanities does the North Carolina Reads Initiative. NCHumanities.org is the website. Go there for more. And check out the book, Game Changers, if you haven't already. I have to leave it there, but Art Chansky, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.